Yeah.
We were talking with his mom earlier today, and one thing that came up was we could, all of us, you know, we're young, we could be doing a whole lot of other stuff except concentrating on these things that are literally getting some of us to spend our lives in jail and getting us in so much trouble. And his mom has done such an amazing job raising him. And when I started, when me and his friends were reading just all the different news and media stuff that's imprinted about him out there, you would think, like, here's a guy who's a monster walking around with, like, bomber jackets and Molotov cocktails hidden under them. And if anyone out there actually got to spend, like, an hour with Sherman, you would know he's, like, the most gentle and loving and caring person. I've known him for, like, 4.5 years, and I've never in this whole time heard him yell. I've never heard him raise his voice. I've never heard him speak badly about anyone. And he's being punished. And not just him, but his family and the people that raised him and his friends that are around him. We're being punished for being conscious and actually caring and giving a fuck about what's going on and wanting to participate in our lives, basically, and in the environment. And this was just another example of how they're telling you to shut the fuck up. Sit in place, go to the mall, shop, hang out with your friends, and do drugs, drink, whatever, and you'll be good, and no one's going to fuck with you this way. But you dare step out of line, and that's one of the FBI agents actually said to him. They said that he just crossed the line a little bit the day of the raid. He crossed the line a little bit, and if he chose to step back over the other line, nothing would happen to him. And we're almost for sure know that the only reason they took 7 months to bring these charges up after they released him was because he continued the website. And not only did he continue it, he put all the information about what they were doing to him up there. If he had left alone and had the website down, I bet you more than anything they would have not come back and fucked with him. But it's the fact that this not only made him, but everyone around him stronger. And it would have been so much easier to just go away. And what they've done, everything they've done, in a sense, they're taking Sherman away from his friends and his family for over a year and sentencing him to 3 years of extremely harsh formal probation after he gets out. But they've also inspired a whole another group of people here. And, like, more people that were probably never active before that have gotten in touch with us over just, like, the last few weeks are, like, saying, what the fuck is going on? Like, I didn't even know, but, like, this is happening? I had a friend who just finished law school, and she was like, I just finished law school, and I just took the bar. I didn't know this was happening. And she's concerned. People that would have never gotten involved are, like, waking up. And this is going to backfire on them because it's going to make a lot of people more motivated and inspired to actually do these things.
You might want to mention the thing you said about your friend in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine, actually. I think he just IM'd us, actually, too. He had, He was actually beaten up by three other guys. Left with... he had to get plates in his head because of it. He was almost killed by it, and the guy who did that to him got off with no jail time and probation and paying $25 a month. And here we have someone that tried to basically kill someone and someone that was hosting a website, and he's going to spend a year of his life in jail. And this is justice in America, and it's happening every day. Sherman isn't our only political prisoner. There's our other friend, two people that got screwed over at May Day here in Southern California, two other anarchists. One of them, Ruckus, Robert Middow, he spent over two years in jail. He just got out, and he got picked up on federal charges. And the other person that got majorly screwed over at Mayday was Javier Perez. He was deported. He's been living here since he was 3 years old, and he was going through his immigration papers. He has no family in Mexico. He didn't even know how to speak Spanish at the time. And he was picked up on Mayday and dropped off at the border just a few weeks after that. And people are getting screwed like this every single day, and it's time for people out there to just wake up, look around, step out of your bubble. And if you don't need to do like what we did. And one of the things about Raise the Fist was that was such a huge threat to them, and I understand why they wanted to take it down, was it didn't say, come here and we'll show you how to do and have an instant revolution, or come join our party. But part of the thing with Raise the Fist was start your own thing in your own town with your friends that you trust. It was autonomous actions that it was promoting, autonomous thought. And that is a bigger threat to them than anything else. Because you thinking on your own and you going out with your friends and participating in direct action or actively trying to actually say no and resisting, That is a direct threat to their national security that they're trying to uphold through violence. That's all.
So, let's talk a little bit about the actions that are coming up to support Sherman in the coming year, and what people can do to get involved in doing solidarity work. There's a talk of an event near the end of the month in August to support us, support you. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Okay, do you want me to, or you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, me again. we're going to have another benefits show at the end of August, most likely at the Shea Cafe in San Diego. And we'd like any bands and artists and DJs to get in contact with us and participate. And if you're not in a band or anything like that, if you can help us with outreach even, just passing out flyers and sending out emails, we'd like for you to get in touch with us at... We have one centralized email account for him that once he goes into jail, it'll still be active. It's not the Raise a Fist. And that email account is ShermanAustinLegal@riseup.net. ShermanAustinLegal@riseup.net, all one word.
And that account is good for getting in touch with this this event coming up at the end of the month, as well as
any information
after September 3rd.
Yeah, everything that if you would like to donate money, if you want to... put on an event in your town, you definitely, if we'd love you to help us put one on, but he has a $2,000 fine to pay, and we can't shorten his time in jail because of the plea. He's going to be serving the full time, but we can help him as far as financially and a lot of other bills. The lawyer in New York to help them a lot, Susan, she, while his thing was going on in New York, she still hasn't been paid, and it's been over like a year and a half, but we definitely like to get her some money too for all of her hard work that she's put into the case. So if anything, if you want to put on a show in your town, if you want just information, flyers, anything, you can contact us there at ShermanAustinLegal@riseup.net. And also the day that he's going to be going in on September 3rd, we're planning a vigil with different types of, like a shaman, priest, and like a Buddhist priest. Just send him off. I mean, we can't make the situation positive, but we'd like to send him off with some positive energy at least, and some good vibes and his friends and supporters like around him. So we're probably we'll get information out about that. But if you'd like to participate in that, you can email that account. But we'll have everything up for updates on anything. LA Indie Media will be having it on their center page over the next 2 months, month at least. All updates will be on laindiemedia.org. And at the end of this weekend, you'll probably see it on the National Indie Media site. So check for any updates on that, and we'll have the stuff about the benefit show and the vigil on there.
Just to clarify for people, that address is la.indiemedia, that's INDYMEDIA.ORG, and the email address is ShermanAustinLegal@riseup.net, and that's Sherman... I'm going to wait till this traffic passes. It's so loud. ShermanAustinLegal@riseup.net. Okay. I want to take a quick musical break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about security culture and what people can do to be conscious in this environment and this time where political activists who are committed to their ideals and are committed to, you know, action in the community can protect themselves and their friends. Okay, so stay tuned. This is killradio.org.
Fight!
real blast, 12 mega bombs and ash. And after I get rid of your frame, why don't you come back to the crib and play some video games? Thanks for checking me. Sit on the couch, pick up a controller, and let's play Tekken 3. Whoop that ass 4 times, now you wanna switch? You can use Eddie, now I'm Dr. Boskanovich. Lay on my back, spit in your face, pump up the bass, kick your shin, sweep the leg, you're starting to beg. Stomp your nuts, head butt, break your arm, nigga be ghost. Oh, I forgot you're already gone.
We're back. This is killradio.org, and we're in studio here with Sherman Austin talking about everything. And the next thing we were sitting here talking about, we want to bring up, is security culture and what that means, and maybe what people can learn from this situation, and how they can protect themselves. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, definitely. Well, security culture on the internet, I think, is one thing that we need.
Security culture.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, first, security culture, do you want to explain that? Okay. Well, security culture is just basically, very generally, just making sure you don't, Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. Okay. So, what we're trying to figure out is a website for people to go, okay. So we can hand it out to people who are listening.
Yeah.
So while we're looking for that, so basically, security culture is a way to practices, behaviors, understanding maybe encryption, understanding who you're working with, and understanding what isn't secure, in order to so that people aren't stealing your data, aren't watching and listening to every conversation you have.
Yeah.
Sort of a protection against government intrusion.
Yeah.
Protecting your privacy.
It's pretty much, not letting yourself be so vulnerable, and just, putting up the strongest wall of protection around you can.
Do you think that from your experience that you would have done things differently?
Probably, yeah. I probably would have used a lot more encryption, and I probably would have refrained from using unsecure protocols.
Well, I mean, I think, in terms of like people grabbing passwords and stuff like that, I mean, obviously somebody stole your identity, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just in terms of protecting your identity.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just in terms of protecting my identity. I mean, you can still use encryption. You can still use, refrain from using, certain file protocols or, different protocols that, AOL Instant Messenger uses or ICQ uses. But, I mean, nothing is ever 100% secure. You can never assume you're 100% anonymous on the internet. I mean, there's always a way. There's always a hole. There's always an exploit. There's always a way to manipulate something to get something else, to get somewhere else on the internet.
Okay, so we have a website up here. I'm going to try and fix this feedback real quick, so I think talk a little closer to your mic.
Okay,
there you
better?
Go. Yeah.
Yeah, just to add to it, security culture. Just to get to it, this isn't. It's okay to talk about this. It's just the basic knowledge of security. You don't talk about illegal activity. You don't brag about it. You don't go around at your meetings and discuss it. You don't plan it. You don't plan direct action that way. You get within small groups that of people that you trust, that you work with, if you're planning on working with, and that's where it stays. It doesn't need to be told to other people. It doesn't need to be talked about to other people. And definitely never, ever, this case and along with many others, they had chats that Sherman had with other people from years ago that were just logged, and they had
what kind of
chat
chats?
Room chats. Like in general chat rooms, IM conversations that are just saved and logged, highlighted. And they actually used it in all of the court documents, highlighted, and the discovery. We saw them. And they were from years ago, like when he was 15, 16 years old. And so there's so many programs out there that the government is using that it's just trigger words that come up, and they pull you in, and they can log you in at that point, and they have you. Anything that is illegal, even remotely illegal, even if you're kidding or playing around about it, shouldn't be discussed online, shouldn't be emailed. You can have encrypted PGP or whatever email account. You shouldn't be saying it. You shouldn't even be saying it within a large group. If you want someone to know, you should be telling them directly if you trust them enough to do that. And that's not to deter people from direct action. It's just to do it wisely. Get information. If you go to infoshop.org, they have a direct action guide and different security culture knowledge and pamphlets that you can order. Basically, any type of activity that can be deemed illegal. And right now, there's so many things that could be that.
Well, with the Patriot Act, it seems like, and the total information awareness system that John Poindexter was trying to pass, it seems like they want to pry into every detail of every citizen's life, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
And I mean, this isn't even about politics anymore. This is about, you know, your average person being like invaded in the middle of the night and their hard drive scanned, you know, and they don't have to tell you. Right. I mean, this is insane what's happening. And it's like, I think just, you know, whether you're political or you're not political, everybody needs to know about what's going on.
Right. I completely agree.
So let me just go back to a point that you said. I'm kind of just blown away by it. You said that during the documentation, during the trial.
Discovery,
right? There were chats of of when you were 15 or 16, 15 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Why?
Why random 15? Well, because they've been watching him for a very, very long time. Just because of the stuff that he was interested with online, they say, different websites he went to online. You don't know. And you can sit there and say, oh, I can get my Freedom of Information Act from the FBI. I can send away for that. But most likely, if you get it back, we were discussing this earlier today, too, it'll be blacked out for the name of national security. You won't know what they have on you. But they had, it's not like he was doing anything at 14 years old. He's not even doing anything now. But you go to any general website that is promoting any type of government dissent, we're not dealing with a country that is allowing, obviously, freedom of speech. It's going to great lengths of killing thousands of people all over the world to maintain its level of security. You know, what they're doing to average people here right now really shouldn't shock you. I mean, it's appalling and disgusting, but it's not really shocking. You should be surprised that they're not doing more yet, and you're not hearing more. But they had a lot of stuff on him, and I'm sure they have a lot of stuff on most of us that have ever remotely gone to a protest, that have been on these websites or visit these websites or send emails to contact information to people there. Your email's not secure. And that's not paranoia of like some wingnut saying everyone is watching you. It's not like that. I've seen these court documents. I've seen the instant messenger conversations. I've seen the chat conversations that are logged from years ago. And it's a completion of them. And they waited until he was 18 years old to come after him, until right after he was 18 years old, so they can actually try him as an adult and get him as an adult and not have his mom involved, or to give permission to his mom to be there at the house when they raided it and got all the information. So that's a typical thing.
Yeah.
So what this, I mean, basically, they have the technology now, obviously, and I think we know this, have the technology now to basically run, you know, bots or programs or whatever to go and just store this data. And then they can come back and use it against you. You know, even if it was a joke, even if you didn't, you know, intend to do anything illegal or whatever, the context of discussions can be they can implicate a lot in the proper context, I should say. What other examples? The site that you brought up was infoshop.org, directaction.html, and there's a link there for security culture and what that is.
Right. If you just go to Google and type in security culture, you'll get a lot of information that goes into detail, like if you're involved in any type of activity. I'm not even talking about direct action. If you're involved in with your group organizing a protest, you need to be using, because anything you say can be construed in a different way too. So it just should be a level of conscious security constantly going on. I'm not going to joke about these issues. I'm not going to brag about them. I'm going to be careful about who I talk about, who am I going to talk. It's as simple as making sure if you have a group of activist phone numbers, keeping it in a safe place or using different names or references to people. You know, not having those phone numbers out all over the place. Not having home addresses out all over the place. Being able to use a P.O. box. Going about ways that you can protect yourself and, more importantly, protect the people that are associating with you. Because if they get you, are going to get the 10 people around you. Like, when they got Sherman, not only did they get Sherman, they got Sherman and all the people he talked to on IM, or that had ever sent him emails, you know, or that goal. One of the reasons they went and they got his computer is they wanted to get his log files to see who was going on and off his website. Who are these people that are going on your website or have your name at raisethefist.com email, you know?
Right.
So
right.
It's not just him. It's everyone attached to him or anyone attached to this idea. And more examples, I mean, look at the Long Beach, for instance, you know? The info shop that was located in Long Beach, that was a storefront that some people lived at, and it was an anarchist storefront. Books were sold there. There was Food Not Bombs operated out of there. A homeless clothing drive was operated out of there. An anti-war group had meetings there. That place, it got so much harassment that people were evicted out of it eventually. It was on a regular basis, police driving by every night, sitting across the street, shining the light into the store, videotaping on a regular basis at every single meeting, just sitting right across the street, waving at us as you went in and out of the shop, towing cars of individuals that come by there. It was a constant regular thing, and eventually, like, they just cracked down and threatened the owner, and the owner ended up evicting everyone there.
Right.
To shut the whole place down. This is their purpose. They don't want you to exist.
What's the date for the show that we're that has been talked about that we discussed earlier? Do we have one?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, we don't have one yet.
It'll probably be the last Friday or Saturday of August.
Okay. Well, maybe at that show people can have some information on all this stuff and pamphlets. And Sherman, do you know where you're going on September 3rd?
Not yet. I'll probably won't know where I'm going until after I surrender myself to the marshals, and even then it might take, you know, a couple of weeks or even a month till they take me to the institution where I'm going to basically be serving my time. So I'll just basically be going in. I'll surrender myself in downtown Los Angeles at the Robo Ball Federal Building, I think, which is connected to the federal jail facility there, and I'll basically go there and surrender myself, and then I'll just wait and see where they take me, pretty much.
And you don't have any other information beyond that? And they haven't told you anything?
Not really. I mean, I don't know where the closest federal prison is. I think it's up in Lompoc, but, I mean, they can send me anywhere, really, if they want to.
And I imagined we'll have jail solidarity and solidarity work set up to help you out for people to write and send letters and...
Yeah, if you go again, LA Indie Media will be having updates about him, and the email address we'll have. Definitely, if you want to get more directly in touch with him or ask questions. But we're planning on having at least one benefit show, whether his legal support put it on or other people all over. We're planning on having at least one benefit show a month to raise money. And any money that's raised that goes above what he needs to pay his fine and to pay his attorneys will directly go over to the Anarchist Black Cross Federation or other political prisoner support groups that will go to other political prisoners, because there's definitely plenty of them.
Just so to remind listeners, the update information will be at la.indymedia.org. That's la.indymedia.org. And the email address for support is shermanaustinlegal@riseup.net. That's shermanaustinlegal@riseup.net. And let's take one more musical break, and then we'll wrap up the conversation and hand this information out again. So we'll be right back. You're listening to killradio.org, and this is Added Drop. And in the studio, we've been talking with Sherman Austin about the sentence that went down on Monday, and that Sherman will be spending a year in prison starting September 3rd when he has to surrender himself. And I just want to say a couple of things. I think, you know, to me personally and to so many people I know who've heard about what's gone down this week have just been, you know, infuriated, not surprised, but, you know, very motivated to help you out, Sherman, and, like, your friends out, and continue to, you know, help each other out in our own political work and be conscious of what's going down. But I just want to send out a big shout of solidarity and support, and I want to thank you for coming down here and talking with on this show and on Kill Radio. Do you have any words for people and to wrap this up in this discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to say, like, I mean, despite a lot of the political repression that's going on now, or just repression in general that's being intensified, you know, from the system, from the state, we should continue to do autonomous organizing that's decentralized in a way where, you know, this is going to get a lot worse. I mean, this is just the beginning. I mean, if it's this bad now, imagine how bad it's going to get, you know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. If we can keep things decentralized and we can continue organizing and networking autonomously, you know, if they can come after one group, one person, they're not going to come after all of us. If everything's centralized, they can just pinpoint one person and take out all of us. If we can continue organizing locally within our own communities and our own areas autonomously, then I think we can be a lot more powerful and be a much more stronger force, and continue what we're doing at the same time, not being taken out by this system as quickly and as efficiently as they hope so. And what was the other thing you wanted me to talk about?
Non-hierarchical organizing.
Oh yeah, non-hierarchical organizing. One of the things about that is, I mean, we've seen back in the 60s and early 70s how, you know, the FBI and CIA counterintelligence operation COINTELPRO took advantage of hierarchical organizing in organizations where they targeted the leaders of these organizations, and not just targeted them physically, but psychologically, to a point where they were able to use their hierarchical platform against them in a sense that it corrupted them with power, and it corrupted them corrupted them egotistically. I mean, the fact that an organization, I think, is hierarchical, leaves it very vulnerable, not just to corruption within itself, but vulnerable to the state, vulnerable to what the federal government is going to try and do to silence that organization. I mean, one of the most strongest movements for social change in this country was the formation of the Black Panthers, I think, and that was one of the most strongest social movements in this country ever since the American Revolution in 1776. And they were one of the things that contributed to the pretty much annihilation and the neutralization of the Black Panthers was the fact that they had a hierarchical structure, and in fact a lot of Black Panthers that are still around today criticized the hierarchical structure that was used, because it not only allowed the organization to experience corruption within themselves, but it made them vulnerable to the FBI and CIA, who used hierarchy in that organization against that organization. Even despite that, you know, the Black Panthers themselves, I mean, I personally think their strategies and their tactics are completely on, but I think if we can take those exact same tactics, those exact same strategies, and use them in a non-hierarchical way, in a decentralized way, I think we stand a much better chance in surviving, you know, what's up to come from the state, what's up to come from the system, as far as, you know, silencing political dissonance. I mean, back then they had COINTELPRO. I mean, today they still have COINTELPRO, but it's just, now today it's less hidden, it's more in your face, it's more like, yeah, this is what we're doing. We're not gonna hide it. You know, pretend like we're not going to do it. I mean, we're going to do it out in the open so everyone can see in the name of national security. I mean, they're going to try and justify, you know, targeting political dissidents or just targeting your average day, you know, citizens. And they're going to try and justify that with national security, to protect national security. So I think that the more we continue to autonomously organize and continue to organize in non-hierarchical ways, we can limit the amount of vulnerability we face from the state, potentially, not just destroying each other and infiltrating our groups and our organizations, but, you know, completely, you know, annihilating us and just taking us out one by one, because that's what they're going to do. That's their objective, to take each person out one by one. And if there's an organization, you know, with a pyramid structure with one person at the top, they're obviously going to go for that one person at the top, and then from there, it'll just, you know, the organization itself will just dissipate, and, you know, everything will just fall apart.
Can I just add, we've gotten some emails and also posts that have been up, and people are extremely discouraged. Ever since September 11th, different movements, a lot was focused on the anti-globalization movement up until that time, and still was after that, but it lessened. People got really scared. And with these events happening more and more, I've been hearing, and just with this case alone, also getting emails on just people being really discouraged and scared to really want to do anything. And I think Sherman and I talked about this, and he can repeat it right now. If anything, yeah, this should make you pissed off, but it should motivate you too. It should motivate you to go out, get with your friends, and organize and live. And you don't need to wait and educate yourself. You don't need to wait for Raise the Fist or anyone to sit there and tell you what to organize for or against. Look around in your own community and look at the needs that it has, and educate yourself in whatever means necessary, and the ones around you, and work with the people that you trust, care about them, be directly involved in each other's lives. Because if we're going to do this, actually, we're going to be in this for life. This isn't a phase. It's not teen angst. It's not like something we're going through that we're just going to phase out of our lives once we get our yuppie jobs. We're in this for the long run, and these are some of the risks that we knew were going to happen. And Sherman, I know for a fact, this isn't going to make him go hide under the covers after he gets out. He's going to be restricted, but he's going to be educating himself and resisting in his own ways possible. And I encourage everyone out there to participate in that. You know, you all should know your own limits on what you can and what you can't do. And don't push yourselves. Know yourself. Know what you're doing, and know the consequences of your actions at the same time, too. And if you're willing to take those consequences, more power to you. But know your limits and continue doing the work that you're doing. We've been kind of asleep for the past 2 years. The anti-war movement was awesome, but we need to get back on track and really start organizing against this gigantic machine that we're up against. Because it's not stopping. It's getting bigger and it's getting larger. And we need every single mind to be free and thinking on their own and going out there and have fun while you're doing this. That's one of the other more important things.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, don't let, despite everything what's going on, don't let it put you into a state of fear where you become pacified and you're just too afraid to do anything, because that's exactly what they want. Once they have you in fear, then they basically have control over you. That's the reason why they do these type of things. That's the reason why they intimidate you, to make you afraid and to discourage you from speaking up and, you know, organizing. I mean, I don't think I did anything that was absolutely extraordinary. I mean, all I did was, you know, stand up and voice my opinion. I mean, and that itself, as we've seen, it can be a great effect. I mean, that itself is a very powerful thing. And I mean, if it wasn't, they wouldn't come down on people who do it. They wouldn't come down, you know, on people like Mumia Abu-Jamal. They wouldn't come down on people like Leonard Peltier and, you know, the hundreds of other political prisoners that are in prisons today. So I think it's important that we don't get discouraged, and we don't try to think that simply because that they're going to be watching us. They're going to be following us. They're going to be targeting us, possibly, you know, arresting us, doing what else they're going to do to us that we shouldn't think that what we're doing is unproductive or not worth it. If we think it's bad now, it's going to get a lot worse later down the line. So, I mean, if we think it's bad now, it's better to take the risk now of something happening rather than waiting 5 or 10 years for it to become a lot worse, where we're all in prison, where we're basically all locked up in concentration camps, and we're all basically labeled prisoners of war, you know. And basically, they have a new law now where they can strip you of your citizenship and basically take you off to any camp, any prison, anywhere they want. I mean, we can't wait for this to get worse simply because we might be too afraid or too discouraged to stand up. I think the more they hit us, the stronger we're going to have to continue. I mean, the more they attack us, the more we're going to have to intensify our struggle and, you know, get more serious and get more down to business and really do what has to be done to end this machine and to stop this machine from continuing on its destructive path and its destructive agenda.
Sherman, I just want to say it's like hearing you say this is really moving and really powerful, and it's to see your spirit and your strength there, it's just incredible. And so I know it's going to be with you during this time when you're away, so I know that and your friends and everybody's going to be there to support you, so incredible. So it's an inspiration. For people, again, I'm going to give out the email address for support. It's ShermanAustinLegal@riseup.net. The updates will be at laindymedia.org. And I want to thank you guys for coming down here.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.